It's an incredible honor to have our team in this situation, but we know with that recognition, you know, there's a big target on our back.
From the hunters to the hunted, Collins Hill High School's varsity football coach Lenny Gregory drops by to discuss the 2021-22 season and the challenges of winning a state title after coming up short in the title game last year. The district's athletic director on the success of girls flag football and allowing fans to watch games in person. And we wrap up the show with another edition of Pop Quiz. All that's next on Teaching Gwinnett. Welcome to Teaching Gwinnett, a Gwinnett County Public Schools podcast. I'm Bernard Watson, and this episode is all about high school sports and what the fall season is going to be like. We begin with Lenny Gregory, the head varsity football coach at Collins Hill High School, the favorite to win the 7A state title.
Lenny, thanks for dropping by.
I appreciate it.
Well, we're excited to have you. You guys are one of the favorites this year to take home the state title. How does it feel to maybe be the hunted as opposed to being the hunter?
You know, it's an incredible honor just to have our team in this situation to where we get the respect and the kids are, you know, noticed and getting looked at. But, you know, at the same time, we realize that this is a new year and a new team and really haven't done anything yet. So it's fun. But, you know, we know with that recognition comes a lot of responsibility, and there's a big target on our back.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for you and your team this year?
It's going to be leadership, and, you know, when I say leadership, it's going to be that leadership with selflessness, you know, where our kids can really get behind one another and kind of put away their egos and just do everything for the team.
Last year, you came close to winning it all. How tough was it for you and your team, particularly the seniors, to just get that close but not sort of finishing the job?
Well, it was heartbreaking, and it took a couple weeks to kind of reflect on the accomplishments. And, you know, I think when we look back, we talked about it at the banquet, you look back on it and you say, you know, that senior class was the greatest senior class to ever come through Collins Hill. No team at Collins Hill had ever reached that level. Most wins in a season, making it to a state championship. I think there's a lot to be proud of. And, you know, sometimes we get caught up into, you know, just the one prize of the state championship. And I think you got to look at the whole season and just exactly what we accomplished and how many teams would have really liked to be in our situation.
So what's the makeup of this year's team? Is it senior laden? Is it younger or mixed?
It's a heavy senior team. It's this class right here. You know, there's eight returning starters on offense, eight on defense. So there's a strong senior presence on this team and a lot of talent. So our deal there is we just got to stay humble, stay focused on the little things, and just take one game at a time.
So I'm going to ask you three different questions, and it could all be the same person. You know, who's your top player? Who's your leader? And maybe an up-and-coming player who may play a key role in this team in this year who maybe nobody else is thinking about.
You know, so as far as our best player, it's hard to say that you have a best player. But if I were to say, you know, who that is, the number one player in the country, Travis Hunter, you know, is ranked the number one player in the nation. And but, you know, right behind him is equally as important as our quarterback, Sam Horn. So, you know, those two together kind of make it happen, you know, as far as being elite players. You know, the leaders, I would say that, you know, Jalen George and Mente Bridge, Cedric Richardson, those are guys that really just hard-nosed guys that are big-time leaders, as well as Sam and Travis, you know. So, you know, that'd be those guys.
Sounds like you got a nice collection of young men there who are ready to lead this team.
Yeah, and as far as an up-and-coming player. I mean, the one guy that to me nobody really knows about is Ethan Davis. You know, he's a basketball kid. We got him to come out and play football. He's a tight end. And, you know, he had an incredible spring, picked up a bunch of interest from colleges, a bunch of offers. And right now they've got him, he hasn't played a varsity game, and they got him ranked the number 10th tight end in the country. So
wow.
I would say he's going to be an interesting member of our team this year.
What's the difference in preparing this year as opposed to the way it was last year?
Confidence. There's a level of expectation and confidence. You know, when you talk about building a championship culture, you know, as you're in that building process, you're trying to, you know, get kids to buy into your program and the culture and the important values and all that. And not knowing, those young men don't really know, right? They're just listening to you and they got to trust you. Now every kid in our program understands that our values and our culture, it works. And so if you don't buy into it, you're not going to play. And if you do buy into it, that there's a real chance that we win a championship.
How exciting is it going to be to have maybe a full complement of fans in the stands when maybe you didn't have that last year?
I mean, it's already been that way, you know, as far as, you know, having a spring ball. We didn't have spring ball last year.
Okay.
Spring game, summer 7-on-7s. And now you're looking at, you know, having people in the stands and the excitement. So, you know, absolutely. And I think if anything, everybody needs to always look back on 2020 and appreciate where we are, because we almost didn't have a football season. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that our leadership and, you know, throughout the state allowed us to play last year.
Now, this is not necessarily directed at your team, but just in general, you know, we've seen teams come in highly rated before the season, play well during the regular season, and then not complete the mission. Why is that?
You know, it's hard for anybody, adults, kids, to deal with success. I mean, if you can look at any example from the business world to professional sports, college sports, I think one of the hardest things for human beings to do is to handle success. You know, you get that entitlement and a sense that you've arrived, and you know, you look back on the movie, was it Rocky III, right? Where Rocky loses that eye of the tiger,
yeah.
Right? And so that's something that you got to do. You got to stay focused. The little things have got to be important, just like they were last year. And then again, go back to that the selflessness. It's so easy, you know, as individuals, if we start getting too much attention, then we become, you know, to where we think we've arrived. And we've got to be very humble and put our team first. And if we're able to do that, then we're going to be successful. But if those become obstacles throughout this journey this year, then it'll be challenging, and it is challenging. I've been on teams that were very talented, and we came up short. And it's and you know, we're all aware of that. My coaching staff's aware of that. I'm aware of it. We just keep, you know, talking to our kids and educating them on what's ahead for them, you know?
I see, you know, the coaches, you guys walk around, you know each other, you're friendly, but obviously when the season starts, you're trying to win every game, and that's the goal for every program, to win the ultimate game. But is there sort of a pride to when maybe your team doesn't make it, but somebody within the district does make it?
So I've spent the majority of my coaching career in Gwinnett County.
Right.
And I've had you know, it's just been an honor and a blessing to be around a lot of different coaches in this county. When it comes down to one of us is going to be playing for it, I think we all pull for each other. I really do.
Okay.
I know that I want to see a Gwinnett County school win it.
Who would you say your biggest rival is this year?
There's five teams in our region. You know, only four of them get to make it. So when you look at that, every single one of them becomes a rival. We're all very, you know, geographically close to one another, and you know, we're all chasing that same thing, which is a region championship.
What's your background in coaching? How long have you been at Collins Hill, and where were you before you came to Collins Hill?
I'm entering my fifth season as a head coach at Collins Hill. Before that, I was the head coach at Centennial High School in Fulton County. Before that, I served 7 years at Grayson High School.
Okay.
I was a defensive line coach, and then my last 2 years was the defensive coordinator at Grayson. You know, I think when you look at Collins Hill over 27, 28 years that the school's been around, I think that Collins Hill's always been a good team, but they've always kind of been middle of the pack. You know, there's been, you know, this year was only the second year that Collins Hill won a region championship outright. It was only the second time reaching the semifinals and first time ever reaching the finals. So when you look around the county and you look at the North Gwinnett's and Grayson, Norcross, Parkview, Brookwood, there's a I'm not going to say a better tradition, but the tradition of winning and competing for state championships is part of their history, where really at Collins Hill it's not been that way.
So how have you been able to change that? What was the key for you? And I'm asking you to be puff out your chest a little bit, right? You had success, you've helped turn around this culture. What would you say was the key?
You know, I think my time with Coach Conn at Grayson and what we did there in 2008 through 14 and building that and that culture and just some of the values of things that I think are very important, you know, being able to implement it and get the kids to get behind it, you know. You got to make them believe, you know. They got to learn to trust the process. And then you got to teach them to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, our big thing when I was at Grayson is, you know, winning is a habit. And once you get these kids to realize and what it feels like to win, it just grows, you know. And you got to have a great staff. I've been blessed to put together a great staff. And then, you know, the kids got to buy in.
Yeah.
And the bigger than that, the parents got to buy in, because they're the ones who got to get them there every day. And what we do in our program is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, everybody always talks about, you know, you got to have fun and this and that. You know, hard work is not fun. And at some point, you know, the kids have got to learn to embrace that grind and embrace that toughness of the sport. And then I think the reward is when you win, you realize that work that you put in is worth it. And that's why that is your edge, you know. And so that's been the last 4 years of what we've been able to do, and hopefully we can just keep building on that.
Coach Gregory, sit tight. We're not quite done with you yet. We're going to bring you back at the end of the show. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, Ed Shaddix, Gwinnett County Public Schools Director of Athletics, will join the show. Stay tuned.
The GCPS Parent Portal. New look, new feel, new function. With easy access in one go-to location, the updated Parent Portal is your one-stop destination for student information. The Parent Portal offers 24/7 access to student grades, assignments, and teacher communications. It's your direct line to the classroom and is available in multiple languages. For more information, check with your local school.
And we're back. Ed Shaddix, Gwinnett County Public Schools Director of Athletics, joins the show. Ed, the new school year is here. Fall sports are underway. It's got to feel good, right?
It's very exciting. Obviously, we're very concerned about what we see in the media, but so far so good. Our coaches and kids are doing a great job, and I think they're just excited to have life back a little bit.
Yeah. And you mentioned it right there. What's going to be the difference between this year as opposed to last year in terms of what we're doing with spectators at sporting events?
Well, first and foremost, school is going to be more normal. Most of the athletes will be in school. Our spectators, we're not restricting participation. we're going to keep some of the things we did, though, some of the cashless options and things that really COVID forced us to do some things that really increased our efficiency and our ability to support spectators and fans. So we're going to keep a lot of what we did. It should enhance the fan experience, but we're not going to have restrictions. We expect the student body participation to be back where it was. It was quite a challenge taking a bunch of 15, 16, 17-year-olds and keeping them separated in stands because they like to be together no matter what they say sometimes.
No restrictions on the number of fans at stadiums?
Right now, we're not being told we have to do any of that. Obviously, that's going to be subject to an environment changes that we experience. You know, obviously, we're concerned about the winter, moving into indoor sports. We're not as concerned about the outdoor pieces as we start early. You know, our only challenge there will be volleyball, but everything else is outside. So, you know, when we got to spring this year and we saw this finish line and we're able to start and finish all seasons, that's the goal again this year with as much normal as possible.
Obviously, it's been a difficult and challenging last couple of years, but there's some wins in terms of athletically and what we were able to accomplish, right?
Absolutely. I think athletics was one of the few things that we were able to provide children that was normal. So they got that social-emotional piece that they weren't able to get. We were able to provide communities something that was normal, whether they could watch it on you know, the Pixelot cameras through National Federation, or they could come to games live. We made it accessible. So students still got to participate at high levels. We typically have about 15,000 athletes. We didn't see a drop-off last year of less than 5%. In participation numbers, even with COVID. So we had a strong year. Kids continued to come out and participate. And more importantly, we were able to keep students and staff healthy with the protocols and things. We learned a lot about how to take care of people and best practices for hygiene. So if COVID, you know, if COVID went away tomorrow, it will help us be better through flu season. And in other parts, there were a lot of wins here across the board.
Now, you've been around GCPS for a while. I'm not calling you old because you don't look a day over 22, right? But you've You're a veteran right now. You know, how well would you say our coaches and the athletic directors at our local schools have done dealing with all these challenges?
I've been in this district 26 years. I've been a teacher, a coach, an athletic director, assistant principal, and assistant superintendent. I've done a lot of work in this district, a lot of stuff I'm very proud of. I have never been more proud of what transpired in the last 13 months and our ability to take care of people, to create processes, to partner with our medical people. That was led to local schools through principals, athletic directors, and coaches. The amount of care and patience and just trying to do the right thing and realizing we were only going to be as good as our worst day.
Yeah.
And understanding what we did every day, what we said mattered. I've never been more proud of the work that's been done from a standpoint of taking care of kids and doing something positive that impacted an entire community, and in this case, the entire state.
What makes our coaches and ADs unique that you would choose them over maybe some other school districts around the state or even the country for that matter?
Things rise and fall on leadership. And our athletic directors, our principals, and our coaches understand that. So the professionalism with which they approach their jobs, they understand that they have an impact that's greater than them and it's not about them. I would say the understanding of their place, what they do, the professionalism they bring to the job separates them from most that I work with around the state.
What are you most excited about this coming year in terms of our athletics?
First and foremost, I'm excited to walk into a school building and see school. You know, our high schools are massive, and as I went through the schools last year with limited people, it did not feel like school.
Right.
So first and foremost, seeing school take place with kids in buildings, the energy young people provide, and I want to see that same transition out to the field with fans and people back in, encouraging. I think it's going to be a great year. I think people are ready to get out. If the folks on vacation or any give us any look into the future, everybody's ready to go. And hopefully things will stay in a position where we can do that.
We're entering, I think this is year three coming up for flag football. How would you characterize the progression of that sport in this school district?
John Weir started that with us, working with Arthur Blank Foundation and Atlanta Falcons, and did a masterful job. That has taken off really like nothing I've ever been a part of from an athletic standpoint. Our girls compete at a level that you just wouldn't expect when you go out there. They absolutely get after it. And we're seeing girls at this point start to get scholarships from flag football. The interest is high. And like I said, it, one of the things I've watched, you know, I got to just come in on the coattails of it. I'm getting to talk to you about, you know, work that John and the Falcons did. But it now permeates the state. And it has grown into something that our young ladies love and they enjoy being a part of.
Tell us about some of the successes our girls' athletic programs have had over the last couple of years.
Well, the reality is we compete in the toughest regions in the state of Georgia. Well, most of our schools are 7A. We got a couple in 6A. So competition's tough. Our girls are routinely in all sports, state playoff bound. We routinely, whether it's competition cheer, competitive dance, volleyball, we have folks playing for state championships every year. We compete at high level, and actually in COVID last year, which was shocking, we just finished our gender equity report, girls' participation numbers were up over last 2 years. So we are obviously finding ways to serve girls and give them opportunities in multi numbers of sports.
So clearly it's not just about the boys here. These girls are out there competing and excelling on a high level.
Absolutely. And I encourage you, if you ever get to go watch one of those flag football games, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Oh, no question. The first year I was taken aback. I mean, it was great football. I wasn't surprised at the quality of it, but it was super entertaining. And how they picked up on it so quickly and excelled at it so quickly was really phenomenal to watch. I just have a couple last questions for you. Over the last couple of years, the district has focused on improving our facilities. Tell us about some of the things that are going on right now.
We have one in every 10 kids in Georgia's in a Gwinnett County Public School seat. So we're large. So we have multiple stadiums. We have 19 stadiums, 19 traditional high schools. Second year coming online will be 20 soon. So upkeeping facilities is a challenge because there's just so many of them and they're so large. But our facilities and operations people do a great job with maintenance. Our local athletic directors and principals do a good job with the local upkeep. But we're seeing through SPLOST and some other initiatives, we're putting turf in schools now. So we've got, at the end of this summer, we'll have 13 schools completed with the board hopefully to approve in the winter, the last several schools in the summer. So turf really allows us, one of our challenges, our sports programs are so big, that there's not enough room on campus to practice sometimes, and weather gets in the way when fields get wet. Turf allows us to really get on a level playing field with others across the state. The challenge here is we just don't compete with North and Brookwood. We compete with Valdosta, you know, Colquitt, Lowndes, schools all over that have these facilities and don't miss practices.
So I hear that you've been putting a little bit of money aside. You're going to put domes on all the stadiums in the school district on your dime?
That's right. We're going to partner with, I'm not sure who, Bezos comes back, maybe he'll do it.
Okay, very good. And what are your goals athletically for the district this year? What would you like to see happen?
Well, first and foremost is going to be similar to last year. Start and complete every season. Give these kids some normal and provide them opportunities. We're going to continue to focus on leadership development, character development, the things that matter that will carry them far beyond here into post-secondary, whether it's work, it's college. And we're going to work on development really at the local school with our coaches and our ADs. It rises and falls on leadership and making sure that we've got quality people in every role.
Ed, sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take one final break. And when we return, Coach Gregory will rejoin the program to close out the show with another edition of Pop Quiz. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss that.
Are you 65 or older and a resident of Gwinnett County? Do you want to enjoy the best sports and entertainment that Gwinnett County Schools has to offer? Then we've got your ticket, the Gwinnett County Public Schools Senior Pass. You'll have entry into all regular season Gwinnett County Public Schools sporting and fine arts events. It never expires, and it's absolutely free. For more information, call 678-301-7274, and we'll see you at the ballgame.
I'm joined again by Ed Shattuck, Gwinnett County Public Schools Athletic Director, and Lenny Gregory, the head football coach at Collins Hill High School. Gentlemen, it's that point in the show where I'm going to take you back to that time in your life that may have caused you a full-on panic attack, or maybe a jolt of super confidence. You know, it's that time when your teacher gave you a test or a quiz you weren't expecting. In other words, it's time for Pop Quiz. Pop Quiz is a series of multiple choice and or true or false questions about Gwinnett County Public Schools that you have 2 minutes to answer. The hope is, at the end of Pop Quiz, our listeners will have learned a few interesting facts about Gwinnett County Public Schools and our guests. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Pop Quiz, hot shot, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Thai dumplings filled with chicken and veggies, vegetarian buffalo wings, yogurt bowls with spiced vanilla yogurt, fruit, and fun toppings. Out of those items, how many are in Gwinnett County Public Schools cafeterias?
Oh.
I'm gonna say all of those.
Absolutely correct. All of those options are available, which is pretty amazing. Clearly, this is not the lunchrooms that we had growing up.
No.
Okay. True or false? Last year, GCPS athletes earned $50 million in athletic scholarships.
True,
more than that.
Question number three. How many bus stops does GCPS have?
131,000.
3,000.
Actually, it's 45,000.
Oh, well.
Wow.
That's a lot of bus stops, right?
Yeah.
If you could not coach or deal with anything with athletics, what would you do and why?
I'd probably go back into special education where I started. There was a lot of satisfaction in serving children with special needs and helping out kids that had disabilities. I just have a soft spot for that.
You know, I've done a lot in the system, and probably the best job I ever had was teaching U.S. history and coaching linebackers. So. I would teach, I enjoyed being assistant superintendent. So I would find something out where I could bring some value to the organization. I got into this for kids, and that's where I get my energy from.
Now here's the last question. Would you rather lose your ability to read or lose your ability to speak, and why?
Well, COVID took my ability to smell, which I still don't have. Which is interesting. But I think I would lose my ability to speak because, as a lifelong learner, reading is vital. And you can find some other ways to communicate. But if you lost your ability to read, you lose one of your important functions of gaining knowledge in the world.
I would say speak. That's tough on both, but, the reading is so important, and that's how we learn. And it'd be a hard world to go through with not knowing how to read.
All right, gentlemen, we're turning your answers over to our crack team of accountants, and after performing some calculations, they say it looks like you passed. Coach Gregory, Ed, thank you for stopping by Teaching Gwinnett and chatting with us. Please stay safe and healthy up there. And Coach Gregory, best of luck on your quest for a state title.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nard, we appreciate you and all you do for the district. And just thank you for having me, sir.
That's going to do it for this edition of Teaching Gwinnett. You can find us on the GCPS home webpage, Google Play Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and just about anywhere podcasts can be found. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Until next time, so long.